Go to the book of Exodus, and we're going to be looking there in a moment, and in the book of Exodus. Over there in the book of Exodus, and I want you to notice there in about verse number, chapter 15. And we'll look at verse number 1. If you're able to stand, then we'll stand and read a few verses right there out of that as we get ready to prepare for this sermon this morning. All right, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now there's somebody there that he throwed in, went to hell. All of his major forces, but animals, chariots, everything, and God's bringing glory to himself, having thrown them into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Am I all good? The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. Our Father, we want to ask you to bless now the service today. We thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We praise you and thank you that thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. Save the lost, we pray. Lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on we have someone to sing about. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out that Israel had been in bondage for over 400 years. And fact is, the Bible said that they served under bitter taskmasters, and that Egypt, being an idolatrous, a godless, a wicked place that had multiple gods, that they defied the living God. And as a result of that, you'll find out that the Israelites, the people of God, God's earthly people, suffered in bitter bondage. Not just being incarcerated, bitter bondage that they made them to serve with. Now, I want to say to you, it was no doubt because of the sins of their fathers. Now, if you get saved, it'll be because you personally receive Christ. If you die without the Lord, it'll be because you personally rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. But here you'll find out is that these people that had sold their brother into bondage, remember that about Joseph? That's why they're suffering what they're suffering over in the land of Egypt, because of the sins of their father. You know, it's our responsibility as a father to put a good example before our children. I got to say to you that we live in a day and an hour that we're not too keen on that or sharp on that unless we're standing at one of their hospital bedsides. Things will be a lot different, I promise you, when you're standing at the bedside, regardless if it's one of your children, your wife or your spouse or your husband, and that is the only two choices that you've got in a spouse is either a man married a wife or a wife that's married to a man, that's the only two choices. That other perverted thinking crowd's going to hell without hope, without God. I want to say to you that, if you will, that here is Egypt, people that worship nature. You'll find out they worship, no doubt, like the land and the flies and the frogs. Remember how the Lord brought a plague against all of those Egyptian gods, they just hardened their heart. God wouldn't let Pharaoh turn them loose, and they'd hardened their heart because God hardened it for them. And as a result of that, when God finally, on the 10th time, brought the death of the firstborn, I mean in the land of Egypt, from the cattle to the firstborn of every family represented there. Now, I'll tell you something. The Bible said the cry was great. In this lesson that you're looking at, do you not realize at all that the people of Israel, here they are, they're wondering what's going on. In fact, is they're not being able to see and realize that God is about to bring them up and out of the land of Egypt. I'm glad to know that they remembered to take Joseph's bones as he requested. And then I want you to notice, if you will, please, that number one is that here you are this morning. I hope you're saved by the grace of God. If you are saved, it's by the grace of God. If you're not saved, you'd better find out what the mercy and grace of God is. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, the devil hates to turn you loose. He didn't want to turn Israel loose out of there. And as they got leaving and got going, he decided, and the devil stirred him up, I'm going to go after them. I think I'm going to go back. See, the devil's after you. That's the reason why we teach him kids in Sunday school and little classes. 1, 2, 3, the devil's after me. 4, 5, 6, he's always throwing snicks. 7, 8, 9, he misses me every time. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, I'm saved. If you're not saved, I guarantee you he's coming after you. And if you get a little bit religious, buddy, he's really going to come after you. And I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find out is the reason why the devil wants to come after you. He wants to try to present you a matter of religion, to show you another way, to show you another life, to show you another Bible, to show you another way. But the problem is there's not another way except through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blood of the Lamb. I want to say to you, number two is, when you look into it, I want you to notice about the Lord. Now, the Lord's the only one can deliver us, and that's what he's done to them on this day, and he wants us to remember that. They, in verse number one, you'll find out there's a song that's mentioned there. You know why, don't you? Because the Lord can deliver. He will deliver. He'll save your soul. He'll put a new song in your heart and your mouth, even praise and thanksgiving unto God. And let me tell you something, is that in verse number one we read, this is the first time that you find someone that's singing. Somebody that's saved by the grace of God ought to be singing about the wonderfulness of our Lord and the majesty of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here they are. Look in verse number one. He said, then sang, there it is, Moses, the children of Israel, this song. See, sang, song, and then the Lord spake, I will sing. Hey, saved, singing, and singing the song of the Lord. What a thing that is to be able to look at. Now, here's the reason why, no doubt, that they're doing that, is because they've been delivered by grace through faith, plus nothing or minus nothing in themselves, or but in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that over there in the book of Hebrews, now we're not going to look at it right this second, but turn over there in Hebrews. Yeah, we will. Let's go ahead and just do that. In the book of Hebrews, I want you to see a passage real quickly. It's in chapter number 11. Now, by faith, Moses was a man that believed in the Lord and without adding to or taking away from anything the Lord did. And the Bible said that in the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 11, at about verse number 28. Now, the Bible said through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, I want you to see that without the blood, there is no redemption. Without the blood of the Lamb, buddy, that he struck the lintel and the doorpost, and there's something about that striking that, if you will, we'll look at in a moment. But right now, I just wanted you to see, and I wanted you to recognize and realize and know that you'll find that without the blood, there is no redemption. And by faith, the Bible said, Moses passed through the Red Sea. Look in verse number 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. I'll tell you what, they followed God. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible said, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Now I want you to watch that. Is that religions always try to give people an alternate plan, but there's not one. The Egyptians are saying to do, they were drowned. In the same water that was salvation to the Israelite was damnation to the Egyptians that didn't have any hope and faith in God. Now watch this. That when you begin to look into it, the Egyptians are saying to do, hey, we're going. You know why you find so many lost people in church? Because they are saying to go to heaven by the same way they think you and I are going, but we're not going to heaven because we're going to church. We're going to church because we're going to heaven, and we've been washed by the blood and added to the family of God into the household of faith. See, now watch this here, is that you'll find that the Bible is given us and our witness and our Lord and our, to the one, he's the savior of life unto life, and to the other, the savior of death unto death. This word right here, you don't have to believe it, but it will save your soul if you let him sink it in your heart, or it will slay your soul one of these days when you stand before God without him. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground whatsoever. In this Bible lesson, you'll find out that the only thing you can get out of religion that has no faith, that has no blood, that has no word from God, buddy, you know why, don't you? They're not interested in what God had to say. They've got their own man-made God and their own idols and so forth and on. Now, here's what it'll do. Religion will finally bring you to destruction. All of Pharaoh's host and his army and his captains and so every one of them drowned in the Red Sea. I mean, can you imagine as they took off down through there? And people are going to ask you every now and again, do you believe God dried up the Red Sea? And I'm talking about dried it up to where that it was dusty. I believe it was so much dryness there, they kicked up dust when they went through. And all those Egyptians standing there watching them thinking, let's go after them. Hey, if they can do it, we can do it. And they took in there after them, and God was watching. And the Bible said when God brought in that water that he had blown open with the breath of his nostrils, that Bible said is that he turned that water back in on top of those Egyptians and drowned every one of them, their horses, their chariots, their guys that were fighting, those men of war, those men of idolatry, those men that were trying to stand up and represent Pharaoh, every one of them destroyed. And I want to tell you something, boys and girls and men and women, you can follow the ideology of the world and like Pharaoh did, but all you're going to get is destruction. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ as an empty-handed beggar and he'll give you deliverance. That's just that simple. It's that way it is. Listen, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Now, you know, I'm troubled about a lot of things in life. And by that, you know, I can just look around and see some things. I'm concerned about you boys. I'm concerned about you girls. You know, now you getting, you know, it was easy while that you were little and while you were sitting in your mama's lap and while that you were trying to be trained how to act and so forth and on. That was simple then. But now when you go to getting big enough to where your eyes looking for a husband or your eyes looking for a wife and you go, it gets more complicated because you make it complicated as you go along. What we end up doing is that we find that if we're not careful, you'll let the devil rob your heart. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you find out there's been a lot of people. Now, not everybody that was delivered out of Egypt, not everybody that went with the Israelites were saved. Later down the road there in the book of Jude, you can read about it, he destroyed many of them because of their unbelief. In the Bible lesson we're looking at here this morning, make no mistake about it, these Egyptians all drowned, and the reason being is because as they were on the wrong side, and the Bible said in chapter 15 and about verse number 4 of our text, and Pharaoh's chariots and his host. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You talk about no match for God, but this world never has been, is not now, won't be tomorrow, any match for our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 15, and I want you to look at about verse number 4. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea, and the chosen captains are drowned in the Red Sea. And then I want you to look about verse number 5. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom as a stone. You ever go out and take a stone, a rock, if you will, please, a stone. Throw it in, buddy, it sinks pretty quick. I want you to see that, if you will, the Bible said, look in verse 10. Thou didst blow thy wind, the sea covered them, and they sank as lead in the mighty waters. And I'm going to tell you something. God had his eye upon what they were doing. God had his eye upon who he wanted to deliver. God seen that defiant, religious, idolatrous, but lost crowd. And the Bible said he brought that water in on top of them, and they sunk like lead. That's something, isn't it? Now, last but not least, looking about verse number 13. Thou in thy mercy, there's what we're looking for. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. And thou hast guided them in thy strength into a holy habitation. And the people shall hear and be afraid, and sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. And the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and the mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Talk about people, buddy, that absolutely became afraid and began to melt because of the fear of God. Look in verse 16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. He said, "They shall be still as a stone until thy people pass over, O Lord, until thy people pass over, which thou hast purchased." Now, I got to tell you something. God, He knows how to plant you. He knows how to call you out, convert you, birth you into the family of God, plant you in the house of God. God knows exactly what it'll take to feed you and to nourish you and to make you the kind of young man or young lady that you ought to be for the cause of Christ. Now, I want you to watch in chapter 14, verse 30. The Bible said, "But the children," verse 29, "the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on their left. And the Lord saved Israel," watch it, "that day." Look at it. Can you remember the day God saved you? The Lord saved Israel that day. But that's important. Because there's a lot of people that never knew what that day is. Notice that. He says, "And out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." Now I'm going to tell you, one of these days, you and I are going to behold the carcasses of them that were defying against God and against the Bible and that which is good and right and moral and decent. I could name you a list of people that right now that are in the Democratic Party, that are in the Republican Party, that are in the, Libertarian Party and all that business right there. I can name you a list of them that I can promise you have absolutely no regard for God, for good, right, moral, and decent. Oh, they talk Jesus out of both sides of their mouth, but it isn't the Jesus you and I know. It isn't the Jesus that will take away sin. It's a Jesus that pats them on the back in their sin. We live in a world that's just like that. That Bible said that, if you will, please, and the Lord, in verse 30, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day." Now, I want to ask you in closing here this morning, what a day that was, and what a Savior that we have to be able to sing about. No wonder it was such a song. No wonder they had such joy and jubilation. The victory was theirs in the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, tonight I'm going to preach, the Lord willing, on what a way to start the new year. Amen. Preach on that tonight. Amen. I got to tell you right now we want to concentrate on that day. Hey, listen, if you don't know what that day was, today could be it. Today could be the day. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our song director's coming, our musicians. You may be here and say, "Preacher, I lived all trembling in my heart and disturbed in my soul. I don't want to start out this year like that. I'd like to have something real from the hand and from the heart of God." Yes. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, you need not leave like that. All you but do is confess the Lord Jesus Christ and make your mind with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, that you want Him to be your Lord and Savior. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it. There may be a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl say, "Preacher, I need something real from the hand and from the heart of God." Maybe there's somebody say, "Preacher, I just want to pray for some of my family. I've got some acquaintances that I work with, some people I go to school with, some people that are dear to my heart that just need God." I pray that, Lord, you'd help us in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. What number?
Page 375.
Number 375. You need to come quickly. Do it while we sing. Somebody burdened on my heart. I'd like to pray for them. While these are praying, others may want to come. Could be here. While we sing one more stanza, high.